advise people to go there and choose for themselves. All right.
So would I.
Thank you very much, David.
Okay.
Really appreciate the call.
Okay.
Well, I didn't expect that. We were going to do a... I wasn't expecting to... Sometimes the subjects and you guys just take us, like a tidal river, you just take us wherever and you're never quite sure where it's going to be going. Eastbourne Pier apparently had a massive fire as well. Burned down the whole thing. Not sure about Brighton. I'm sure Brighton had a fire. I'm almost... It did. Yes, it did, says person who is a Brighton fan. Right, it's approaching 6 o'clock. This is an extraordinary story. I was reading this yesterday, but this is a story about police officers who pepper sprayed and tasered a 92-year-old wheelchair amputee. They've been cleared of assault.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 6 o'clock, Donald Trump has suffered a major setback in his effort to impose tariffs on almost every country. A trade court in New York has blocked the move, ruling that Mr. Trump overstepped his authority when he brought in the sweeping taxes. LBC's Washington correspondent Simon Marks has more.
If I look at the text of this ruling, it says that it is absolutely clear that the Constitution assigns the United States Congress the exclusive powers to collect tariffs, to impose tariffs, and to regulate commerce with foreign nations. Now, I have no doubt that the Trump administration will be appealing that ruling, but on the face of it, it is a substantial blow.
4 people have died after thousands of people crowded into a UN food warehouse in Gaza. It's reported 2 people were crushed and 2 others died of gunshot wounds, but it's not clear who opened fire. The World Food Programme says there were hordes of hungry people. Danny Dannon, the Israeli ambassador to the UN, has defended the level of aid available.
There are more than 400 trucks already on the Gaza side of the fence, but the UN has failed to pick them up. The UN must stop spreading panic and start moving aid. Put your ego aside and do your job.
About £1 billion is to be invested in technology to better connect weapons systems and speed up battlefield decisions. The plans will form part of the long-awaited Strategic Defence Review, due to be published on Monday. The Ministry of Defence will also set up a command to counter a continual and intensifying level of cyber warfare. Ministers are fast-tracking 2 reservoir projects over concerns about meeting demand for drinking water. The projects in Lincolnshire and Cambridgeshire would be the first new reservoirs in 30 years. They've been designated as nationally significant, escalating them from local planning to central government. Chelsea have become the first club to lift all 4 current men's UEFA trophies. They beat Real Betis 4-1 in the final of the Conference League last night. It's a first trophy with Chelsea for manager Enzo Maresca.
I expect a little bit the way we play first half, and the reason why is because we play 100 minutes Sunday. We adjust something tactically half-time, and second half we were much better. And we are very happy.
In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen this morning at 87.26. It closed down 52. Yesterday, the pound buys $1.34 and €1.19. LBC weather. Cloudy with patchy rain for many places. Sunny spells developing in central and eastern areas. A high of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
The Škoda SUV showcase event is now on, featuring the Škoda Kamiq, Karoq and Kodiaq. 3 confident SUVs, all crammed with character, created with commitment. Carefully crafted for curbs, the country and carrying kids to karate. And now with £500 off Kamiq and £1,000 off Karoq and Kodiaq. Come quickly to a Škoda retailer between the 19th of May and the 9th of June for a closer look. Customers saving including VAT applied to on-the-road price on retail invoice. Retail customers only. Offer cannot be claimed retrospectively. T's and C's apply. Participating retailers only.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Ian Paine.
Good morning. It is to the second, exactly 4 minutes past 6 o'clock on the morning of Thursday, May the 29th. Coming up, two police officers who pepper sprayed and tasered a 92-year-old disabled man in a wheelchair have been cleared of assault. PC Stephen Smith and PC Rachel Komoto denied using excessive force on single-leg amputee and wheelchair user Donald Burgess at Park Beck Care Home in St. Leonard's-on-Sea. He was brandishing a knife. A jury returned their unanimous verdicts on both of the Sussex police officers at Southwark Crown Court yesterday. We've got some audio and some film of the incident. The guy is quite threatening, but, you know, you don't need to go near him. You can walk away and he would have been fine. I don't know. It sounds crazy, but if you have an opinion on it, we just thought this was an interesting story. I know Nick's going to be talking about it later. So do you think they used excessive force or not, tasering him? Also, criminal charges have been confirmed now against Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan here in the UK. They're accused of 21 offences in total, including rape and human trafficking, and have previously denied charges against them. LBC's reporter Joe Hawkins has more details.
Andrew Tate is accused of 10, including rape, actual bodily harm, human trafficking and controlling prostitution for gain, relating to 3 alleged victims. His brother Tristan faces 11, including rape, actual bodily harm and human trafficking against 1 alleged victim.
The two brothers both deny all of the charges, and our breakfast reporter Henry Riley will join me later for more on that story. An app downloaded more than 1 million times has been encouraging users to swap children's faces onto sexualized adult content. Adverts for it have been branded as horrifying and dangerous and have prompted calls from a government minister for Ofcom intervention. It's our exclusive, and our reporter Alan Zazinski will bring you the details of that. The business will come from Myron Jobson from Interactive Investor, and we might have a look at today's front pages.
Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. This is LBC.
Okay. Thank you. Loads more of you getting in touch saying that you've now started sponsoring a guide dog. Come on. Guide dogs, sponsor a puppy. Go on there and just make yourself feel good about yourself. Yeah? Brilliant. Right. Extraordinary story. Two police officers who pepper sprayed and tasered a 92-year-old disabled man in a care home with only one leg in a wheelchair have been cleared of assault. Now, he was acting in a threatening manner. So he was holding a knife. I mean, it wasn't a machete knife. It looked like a kitchen knife in his hand. And every time the police made an effort to sort of approach him, he kind of put the knife in front of him. But in terms of a threat, I don't know. We've actually got some footage of what happened. Obviously, you can't see it, but have a listen and maybe it'll help you make up your mind about whether they used excessive force or not. Anyway, the Sussex police officers in question were PC Stephen Smith and PC Rachel Komoto. They went on trial in London over the incident involving Donald Burgess, a single-leg amputee and wheelchair user. So what's the story behind this? Right, let me give you as many details as I can. So they were accused of using excessive force on Mr. Burgess during a confrontation at the Park Beck care home in St. Leonard's-on-Sea in East Sussex in June 2022. The pair had denied the charges. A jury at Southwark Crown Court found 51-year-old Smith not guilty of 2 counts of assault for using parva spray and a baton. Komoto, who's 36, was found not guilty of 1 count of assault for deploying her taser. The care home had called emergency services after Mr. Burgess reportedly threatened to stab staff with a knife that he was given to cut his food. Within less than a minute and a half of going into Mr. Burgess's room, Smith sprayed synthetic Parva pepper spray onto the pensioner's face and used his baton to try and knock the knife out of his hand while Komoto deployed her taser. The court heard both Smith and Komoto repeatedly ask Mr. Burgess to drop the knife, with Smith warning him, "Put the knife down, mate, or you will be sprayed or tasered. That's up to you." Smith then discharged the spray directly into Mr. Burgess's face. Body cam footage played to the jury showed. Mr. Burgess raised the knife a couple of times as Smith used his baton to try and get the knife out of his hand. When that failed, Komoto deployed her taser. Smith, this is the male police officer, previously told jurors he didn't see that the pensioner was disabled and using a wheelchair. He just thought he was in a seat. OK, until after the incident, as he was focused on the knife. In his evidence, Smith also... So he thought he might get up, did he? Try and stab him? Hopping? Maybe? I don't know. What? Smith was focused on that. In his evidence, Smith also denied hitting Mr. Burgess with a baton, claimed he flicked it towards the pensioner's wrist to knock the knife out of his hand. Meanwhile, Komoto said she believed using the taser was the safest way to protect Mr. Burgess, as she feared her colleague using the baton again would cause more harm. The care home manager, Steve Cooper, previously told the court that workers had been under threat from Mr. Burgess for more than 30 minutes before they decided to phone. The judge told the jury the reason for his behaviour that day, we now know, is that he was delirious as a result of a urinary tract infection. Following the incident, Mr. Burgess was taken to hospital and he later got COVID-19. He died about 3 weeks after that. The jurors took 2 hours around that time to reach their verdicts. Both officers, though, will face proceedings for gross misconduct. Do you think they should? They've been cleared in a court of law. It's the same situation as we had with the police officer who shot the fatal shot that killed Chris Cabba in his car when he tried to use his car as a sort of battering ram to get out, using it as a weapon, because he was found not guilty by a jury and then he still faced gross misconduct charges. I don't know, really, if they should suffer. You know, I can understand why the jury cleared them. And the fact that it's a jury rather than just a judge making the decision makes me more comfortable with what it is. Of course, police officers have to be seen to be acting in a proper manner, and they probably didn't. If they'd known he had a urinary tract infection and he was delirious and all the rest of it, you know, we've all got elderly relatives, and I know a lot of elderly relatives who've had urinary tract infections, and it does make them very uncomfortable and not act as themselves, but they weren't to know that. But if they get them, but I'm kind of on the police's side. I'm not sure the taser was necessary, but the, you know, if you get a call saying there's a guy who's in the care home and he's threatening staff and he's threatening to stab them, you'd have to attend, wouldn't you? But would you, so what, you guys think that the excessive force was excessive? You think they should have been found guilty? You could have wrestled a knife out of a 92-year-old's hand. Yeah, I suppose so, to be honest. I mean, yeah, I don't know what they should have done. What should they have done, in your opinion? Did they act in an excessively forceful manner? Or was it commensurate with what the situation they were in? I mean, you know, if he didn't know that... Basically, they didn't know the circumstances of this guy's poor life at the end there. And so they just thought he was someone with a knife who was threatening them. And at any point, he could get up and try and stab them. So I suppose so. I think the taser was too much, but... the jurors took 2 hours. Both officers face proceedings now for misconduct. Police officers, according to the Assistant Chief Constable of Sussex, Paul Court, is that his name, from Sussex Police. He said, police officers can find themselves in challenging and unpredictable situations where they must make split-second decisions to keep the public safe and to do so with measure, compassion and skill. We support them to do this, and this is what our communities expect. Use of force must be reasonable, necessary and proportionate, and officers know they will be held accountable every time. There might even be some audio of this chief constable, maybe. The officers in this case have been held accountable to a criminal threshold, and we respect the jury's decision. While this concludes the criminal investigation, both officers will now face gross misconduct proceedings. The IOPC, which is the Independent Office for Police Conduct, which most police officers that I know hate, said that both officers should face a gross misconduct hearing for potential breaches of the police standards of professional behaviour relating to use of force and authority. So the questions I would ask is, one, do you think the jury's reached the right decision? I think they probably have, although I would question the use of a taser on a 92-year-old disabled man, but, you know, a bit excessive, that. But to get a criminal prosecution for that, I'm not sure, to be honest. But now that that's over, what do you think about this? You know, and I'd love to hear from police officers. You don't have to identify yourself. You can be anonymous. We won't say who you are or where you are if you don't want to, particularly if you're a serving police officer. But what do you think of this? You go through a trial, like the officer that that killed Chris Cabot. You go through a trial, and then you have to face gross misconduct proceedings. It seems a little bit sort of, I don't know. It seems like you're being tried again for the same offence twice. It doesn't seem right to me. But anyway, you might say, if you want to be opinionated about it, and you are a serving police officer or a former police officer, I'd love to hear what you think about this. It does sound to me like you're being tried again. PC Komoto faces a further misconduct allegation relating to comments she made on social media after the incident. Well, that's the thing you just don't do. If you're a serving police officer, you don't go near social media. It's an absolute, it's a zoo out there, and you can only... So many police officers have fallen foul doing something quite innocently, and then someone goes, hold on a minute, should a police officer be showing these pictures? Or someone who... What was the lady, the senior police officer, her sister sent her a picture that was really dodgy, and she lost her job as a result of it because she opened it, you know, and it was just like, what? Anyway, stay away from there. So tell me whether or not you think the jury have reached the right decision, and should they be facing a gross misconduct charge as well? I think that's a little bit of being tried for the same offence twice. It's 6:15. The news headlines are read by Thomas Watts.
Judges have blocked Donald Trump's sweeping trade tariffs on nearly every country. Four people have died after crowds broke into a food supply warehouse in central Gaza. Britain is to set up a new military command to counter cyber threats. LBC weather. Cloudy with patchy rain for many places. A high of 23 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. The M1 is closed southbound between Junction 5 at Watford and 1 at Staples Corner. It's because the overnight works are still taking place and it's starting to look busy now on the approach. There are queues on the M25 anti-clockwise on the western stretch from Junction 15 at the M4 and 13 at Staines, and that's because of the emergency repair works which are having to take place and only one lane is open. But also the anti-clockwise exit slip road at Junction 13 at Staines is closed. In Kent, the bridge works continue on the M2 westbound at Junction 2 at the A228. There's only one lane open here as well. And also, the Woolwich Ferry isn't running, and that's because of a technical problem.
This is LBC.
Did you know you can get Santander cycles for 24 hours for £3.50? I spent the day feeling the morning breeze, rolling with mates.
Keep up!
Free wheeling!
For £3.50, you can get 24 hours of unlimited 60-minute rides on Santander Cycles. Download the Santander Cycles app to find your nearest docking station. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Pedal bikes only. Additional charges apply for e-bikes. Other T's and C's apply.
Hello, I'm Nick Ferrari, and I'll be back taking your calls from 7. So get it off your chest and get it on the radio. Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Join me, leading Britain's conversation on LBC.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service, recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Any tips for the racing?
Yeah, your best bet is to head to BetVictor for their new customer welcome offer. If you bet a minimum of £10, they give you £20 in free bets on the horse racing. But here's another tip. If you're at the races, head to the paddock. You get lots of info they don't put in the race cards.
Like what?
Like the fact I'm seeing one of them drop a lot of weight right now.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet on the racing at BetVictor. 18 plus, opt in, bet on horse racing at odds of evens or greater, no cash out, 7-day expiry, terms and conditions apply, gambleaware.org.
Calling all young creatives, kickstart your career in media. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12 at Global Academy. globalacademy.com.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics, with over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Next time you walk their dog or feed their cat, when you pop by for a cuppa or just stop for a chat, tell your friends about pension credit. They could be missing out on an average of over £4,000 per year to boost their pension income. Pension credit also unlocks other support like help with heating costs, council tax, and a free TV licence for people over 75. Tell them to search for pension credit on gov.uk. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Ian Payne on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Okay, if you want to call, you'll get through now, actually. We can't always guarantee that in about 5 or 10 minutes' time. But if you want to call and tell me what you think of this incident, the two police officers who tasered a man with one leg in a wheelchair who was 92. He had a urinary infection. They weren't to know any of this, but he was brandishing a knife and he'd threatened to stab members of the care home staff, and they tasered him. And the family obviously complained. And I was thinking to myself, my mum's 92, and if she was acting, because my dementia does funny things to you as well, particularly if you've got a urinary infection. My dad was the nicest, gentlest man in the world, but when he was suffering with dementia, and the reason why we suddenly said he's got to go into a home now, he can't be at home anymore, is he threatened to hit my mum. And it was like, that would, this is not, who is this person? It's completely different. So I was thinking to myself, if my 92-year-old mum, because she's the same age as this poor man, was tasered by someone, I'd be outraged. I would. And I'd want the police officers prosecuted. But a jury who's heard all the evidence found them not guilty. And now they have to face a gross misconduct charge. I know it's about, did they commit a crime? No. But now they have to say, did they break police rules? Possibly. Okay, so that's why they've got a gross misconduct charge. I just feel it's sort of, is it double jeopardy? You can't be tried for the same offence twice. It feels all wrong to me. Ian, I think the officers gave the man a warning, says Rob. A knife is a knife. In other countries, including New Zealand, where I am, the man could have been shot. Whatever the issue, the impact of his actions was still real. CJ says they definitely need to be disciplined for gross misconduct. It was appalling behaviour, complete amateurs and bullies, no need for taser or pepper spray. And Steve says, let me tell you of an incident in police custody that I witnessed. We had a guy in a wheelchair with no legs who tried to stab three police officers with a pen. It took three cops to restrain him. Vulnerable or not, people can be violent. It's 21 minutes past six. If you would like to get in touch with us, we've simplified our life. Like me, decluttering my life, we've simplified your life. We've given you one number that kind of fits all. It's the same number for telephone calls as it is for a WhatsApp message. It is 0345 6060 973. There you are. That's all you need to know. You can ask Alexa to send a comment if you want, or you can use the old-fashioned text, which is, I've forgotten it, 84850. There you are. Right, Henry Riley has joined me. What do we know about Andrew Tate and his brother being charged here in the UK?
Yeah, well, this is the first time that we've learned they're facing a slew of criminal charges in the UK. Of course, Andrew, Tristan Tate, both social media influencers, but yesterday was the first time that the Crown Prosecution Service have confirmed that they've authorised 21 charges against the brothers in the UK. We now know the details of those charges and the number of alleged victims. Now, these two are dual American-British citizens. Andrew Tate, who is a self-styled misogynist, he's 38 years old. He's accused of 10 charges, including rape, actual bodily harm, human trafficking, and controlling prostitution for gain. Those relate to three alleged victims. His 36-year-old brother, Tristan Tate, faces 11 charges, including rape, actual bodily harm, and human trafficking. Those against one alleged victim. Now, they have not responded directly to the news yesterday, but they have shared posts on social media saying the allegations are fabricated, or certainly suggesting that they are. The charges were authorised in January 2024, but the full details have only just been released now by the CPS. The pair have millions of followers on social media. Their videos have been watched hundreds of millions of times. Last year, Bedfordshire Police announced that they were seeking to extradite the Tate brothers to the UK. They issued an international arrest warrant over allegations dating back between 2012 and 2015. They deny those allegations. Despite that arrest warrant, though, the pair can only be brought back to the UK when criminal proceedings against them in Romania have been concluded. And over there, prosecutors have charged them with offences including trafficking children and rape. Ian, the brothers deny all charges, and it's thought they are still in Romania.
Thank you very much indeed, Henry. I am asking you, what do you make of the incident involving two police officers who've been cleared by a jury of using excessive force? They pepper sprayed and tasered a 92-year-old disabled man at a care home. The two officers went on trial in London over the incident involving Donald Burgess, who is no longer with us. He caught COVID after this incident, a single-leg amputee and wheelchair user. He'd been threatening staff for 30 minutes. They tried to talk to him. He'd been threatening to stab staff. He had a urinary infection. He was delirious. And the jury, and they've seen more evidence than we have, so you have to trust their decision. They came to the conclusion they had not committed a crime, but they now both face gross misconduct disciplinary proceedings for breaking the rules of engagement, I suppose, within the police force. Nigel's in Worcester. What do you make of it, Nigel?
Well, at first I was a bit annoyed because I think I saw it on the TV. Otherwise, I was dreaming it anyway. But I'm sure I saw it. And although they rightly were found not guilty, they should be held accountable, but somebody above them, i.e. the police force, should be held accountable for absolutely rubbish training. Because you don't do that.
What should they have done, Nigel?
What?
What should they have done? Well, if you've seen the picture, the guy, you know, they weren't to know his medical circumstances, but he does hold this knife, and whenever they come close to him, he pushes the knife out towards them.
But he's in a wheelchair, Ian.
I know.
All right, he's not going to hop over to him, is he? And he's 92. Mm. I mean...
No, I think the taser was... Have they committed a crime, do you think? A jury says no. What do you say?
No. Look, I bet if you asked those police on hindsight, they would feel a little bit silly and say, on hindsight, we really could have done that better.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Should they face disciplinary proceedings now from the IOPC?
Well, maybe from their chief constable in a bit of a tallying off.
Mm.
You know, there's no point in doing anything really bad to them because, you know, send them on another 6 months training course.
Absolutely. You've got to get some good out of all this, and that is
exactly.
Quite right. Just talking about what's acceptable and what's not. I'll be honest with you, I'm actually changing my mind in the last 15 minutes.
I was hoping so, Ian, because I thought you're a decent chap, but I think you were a little bit harsh.
Maybe. I actually do think now they should suffer... They should face some sort of disciplinary proceedings. Now I've understood what that's about. It's not about committing a crime. It's about not following the right procedure. And I don't think that they did follow the right procedure, did they? What do you think they should, if they're found guilty, what sort of punishment do you think? I don't know what the punishment could be. I guess you could be sacked, couldn't you?
Well, that it depends on... If they got previous...
Yeah.
Then that depends what it is. But if they're decent coppers who just panicked and overreacted like we all do on situations, I'd rather see them retrained.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it might be worth.
Thank you, Nigel. I think it might be worth trying to find out if we can next door what she said on social media. That she's also up for a disciplinary, because she said something on social media afterwards. I don't know what that was. Maybe she was justifying herself. Let's speak business with Myron Jobson, Senior Personal Analyst at Interactive Investor. Good morning. News from the microchip maker NVIDIA.
Yes, morning, Ian. Morning. So NVIDIA, and you know, they're the US chip designer. I suppose they're at the heart of the global spending spree on infrastructure, power and artificial intelligence. So they've reported a nearly 70% surge in quarterly revenues, and this actually beat Wall Street's estimate. So this surge comes despite the company suffering a big hit to its business stemming from, you know, the tariff wars, the US restrictions on its China sales. So yesterday, NVIDIA reported revenues of around $44 billion for the quarter, which ended April 27th for them. And this is almost £1 billion above Wall Street's expectations. And NVIDIA said that it expects slightly better revenue for the current quarter of around $45 billion, plus or minus 2%.
Brilliant. Okay. And what's happening with Thames Water?
Yeah, so they were fined. They were having the biggest ever fine issued by the Ofwat, which is the water industry regulator, totaling £122.7 million. And this is for breaching rules over sewage spills and shareholder payouts. The watchdog said that the fines would be paid by the company and its investors and not by the customers. Although I'm not too sure how it ensures that the customers won't ultimately be paying for it through high bills in the future. This is my worry.
I always find it strange when people, it's like fining a bankrupt person. You know, there must be other ways of doing some good from this. What happens to the money? Does Ofcom bank it, or what happens to that fine? Where does it go? Do we know?
I think I'm not too sure. I think Ofcom it goes into a pool of cash to be that they use.
Right.
But I'm not quite.
No, I would. Interested to know about fine. You find people who haven't got any money, who are in debt. You know, just knock off, you know, $2 million from the guy's salary. That's the way to hit him in the pocket. Thank you very much indeed, Myron Jobson, senior personal analyst at Interactive Investor. Oh my God, I'm on time. It's exactly 6:30. Here's Thomas Watts.
A trade court in the U.S. has blocked President Trump's tariffs, including levies on China, Mexico, and Canada. Judges have ruled he overstepped his authority, but the White House has filed an immediate appeal. Four people are reported to have died after crowds broke into a food supply warehouse in central Gaza. The UN's World Food Programme says hordes of hungry people were involved. Britain is to set up a new military command to counter a continual and intensifying level of cyber warfare. It'll be part of the government's long-awaited strategic defence review, due to be published on Monday. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for many places, sunny spells in central and eastern parts, a high of 23 degrees.
LBC, Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Coming up this morning with Nick, he's going to be covering this story, the two police officers who were found not guilty of committing a crime after they tasered and pepper sprayed a 92-year-old amputee in a care home. Nick will be speaking with the care worker who was on behalf of the man's family. The influencer Andrew Tate faces rape and trafficking charges in the UK. Nick will have the latest. And following on from the Liverpool parade crash, the Met chief says police should disclose the ethnicity of suspects. Do you agree? All of that and more coming up with Nick Ferrari at breakfast this morning from 7 here on LBC.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Listen on your radio and on Global Player. LBC.
At Wickes, save on Dulux Standard 2.5-litre coloured emulsion. Was £23, now £15. Feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Ends Wednesday. Terms apply.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prizes available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6th, 25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
Amazon offers employees up to £8,000 for education and training. Like Juliet. She's now a trained technician. And to her, the sound of machinery in need of repair reminds her of how far she's come. In 2 years, she's landed her dream job, providing her with valuable skills. That's up to £8,000 for education and training at Amazon. Eligibility conditions apply.
Next time you walk their dog or feed their cat, when you pop by for a cuppa or just stop for a chat, tell your friends about pension credit. They could be missing out on an average of over £4,000 per year to boost their pension income. Pension credit also unlocks other support like help with heating costs, council tax, and a free TV licence for people over 75. Tell them to search for pension credit on gov.uk. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Imagine your dream holiday made possible by comparing cheap flights on Kayak, walking on an unspoilt goes-on for miles beach on the Sardinian coast, plunging into the splendour of an idyllic lagoon in Greece. Ah, yes.
This is the life. All you have to do
is actually book it. Don't holidays. Use Kayak to compare prices from hundreds of travel sites and airlines to find your dream deal. Search Kayak and go see for yourself.
This is LBC with Ian Payne. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
So, the two police officers who pepper sprayed and tasered a 92-year-old amputee in a care home in a wheelchair have been cleared of assault. They now face gross misconduct charges. Let's speak to a copper, Peter Blexey, former Met police officer. Good morning. What do you make of this case, Peter?
Well, the jury have spoken loud and clearly and unanimously that these officers committed no crime. But now, of course, as you've clearly pointed out, they will suffer the opportunity for their employer to have a second bite at the cherry by putting them on a gross misconduct panel, at which, were they to be found guilty of any misdemeanor, they could lose their jobs, which, of course, clearly is perverse, is wrong, and simply should not happen.
Okay. I think there'll be people disagreeing, but let me ask you why you feel strongly about this. Because I started this hour saying, no, you don't need to be tried for the same offence twice. But actually, they've not committed a crime. This is not about committing a crime. This is breaking police rules. Don't you think they should have a look at that? Because they definitely must have broken a couple of them.
Well, picture the situation that whilst you're broadcasting on air, you say something, and that is referred to the regulator, to Ofcom, who carry out a thorough, lengthy, prolonged investigation as to whether you committed any breach of broadcasting laws or whatever. And Ofcom then say, fundamentally, no, you committed no wrongdoing. How would you then feel if your employer, who might not have liked what you said, then put you on a disciplinary hearing at which you could risk losing your job? I don't think you'd be very happy if those kind of circumstances applied to your occupation.
What would you say to the family of this poor gentleman who's no longer with us?
I hope he rests in peace. It's very unfortunate. I completely agree. I've watched the footage time and time again. And if you had 100 callers this morning, I'm sure there would be 100 suggestions as to how things could have been done differently. But they committed no crime. I hope he rests in peace. I understand their pain.
You understand why the female police officer used her taser on this guy? You think that was commensurate with the situation?
The call handler issued this call as a top-grade call, so the most serious potential threat. So those officers went to that call, going into a situation that many, many members of the public would simply not want to do, even on being dispatched, on hearing the call. The officers at the time made a judgment based on their training. I thought it was a brilliant shout by your caller as to should there be further training. And I'm absolutely convinced that the police will look at this situation and alter training accordingly. However, the jury spoke loud and clear. They committed no crime. That should be the end of this very unfortunate matter.
What do rank and file police officers make of the IOPC, Peter?
They despise the organisation. It's called the Independent Office of Police Conduct. Many, many officers question its independence. Many people think that it has a political agenda, that it's driving officers into court purely because they want to secure convictions to justify their existence. It's not a trusted organisation. It's much discredited by its own behaviour. It takes too long, and quite frankly, it's not fit for purpose.
And can I ask you about another subject? I know Nick's going to be talking about this later, and that is Mark Rowley saying yesterday that he thinks that, the Liverpool parade car being driven by that guy, the ethnicity of people who were arrested should be made public. Do you think that's a good idea?
His Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary published two tranches of a report into that dreadful Southport massacre. And what they clearly said was that communication by police services in circumstances like this has to be better. Merseyside police, to their credit, clearly got the information out as quickly as they possibly could, which has quelled much speculation. So well done to them for that. Rowley's right. They need to get the information out there, because look what happened with the rampant speculation and all the unrest that a lack of information created after Southport.
Thank you, Peter, as always. If you agree or disagree with Peter's comments on either story, get in touch with us. The way to do that, you might have to wait a little bit because it's fairly crowded. 03 45 60 60 973. I just think the ethnicity, you're asking for trouble. If they'd named it, if they've said the ethnicity of the Southport murderer, all hell would have broken loose, wouldn't it? Don't you think? Anyway, children from disadvantaged backgrounds are missing lessons at school because they cannot afford uniforms, food, trips and transport. Let's speak to Bobby Siegel. He's a maths teacher and broadcaster. He's the co-host of the Maths Appeal, a maths accessibility podcast, and he's also the National Numeracy Charity Ambassador. Oh, so what's actually happening here, Bobby?
Good morning, Ian, and good morning to our listeners. So what this report is saying is that children that are on sort of free school meals, lower income, they're essentially missing out on opportunities at secondary school. And I think this survey commissioned by an organization called the Child Poverty Action Group, they found that one in six pupils have missed secondary school at least once because they said they've not got something they need to attend. And again, free school meals often a criteria for this. And people sometimes go, oh, free school meals, what exactly is that? So in England and Wales, it's children that are aged 4 to 16, they're eligible for free school meals if they live in a household that gets us two components. They get income-related benefits, such as universal credit, but the second bit is they have an annual income of less than £7,400 after tax. And I'm the maths teacher, and that works out to be about £620 per month. So they have an income of less than that. So actually the criteria for free school meals is still quite low. And I think, again, as a teacher, what I've seen the impact is, in fact, the evidence makes it very clear, generally, there's like a link between attendance and higher attainment and higher life chances. And we've had numerous prime ministers in the UK. We've had, you know, Tony Blair in the 90s saying education, education, education. And we've had Rishi Sunak saying that education is a silver bullet to solving all our silver problems. And yet in this country, I think there's still too much placed on where children are born. If you're born to a family of disadvantage, that disadvantage is going to be entrenched as you go through the school system. And in fact, in the UK, if we want to get the most out of our young people, we want to make sure that opportunities spread around. But this report shows that clearly people miss out on school. They don't have clean clothes. Again, anecdotally, I've seen many times, Ian, where I'll turn up and I'll see children with, I look at their collars in the morning or their shirt sleeves. And I'm like, that looks like the same shirt as yesterday. They've got the same pen marks. And these are children, these are families obviously making decisions about their about their clothes, about where they can attend trips, missing out on enrichment opportunities because they simply can't afford it.
If a child in your school went to the head teacher, or the parents of the child went to the head teacher and said, I'm sorry, I just cannot afford a school uniform, what would happen?
So again, if a parent came to that, usually we would try and make something work.
Right.
Either we'd look into, again, with our really tight funds, we try and see, is there some additional pot that we can do free up for this?
Yep.
Or otherwise, we can have a proper conversation with them, trying to understand, even almost becoming like social workers, we try and understand, are there things that the parents can claim, additional benefits, looking to supporting them, looking to getting their child maybe into breakfast club. So schools do everything they can to support. But ultimately, this is an issue of budgets and financing. Like the government have got to make sure that, again, I think free school meals, the criteria that, again, inflation rated, I think the cap for free school meals should be lifted because more and more families have been lifted into this over the past 2 years.
Thank you very much, Bobby. Bobby Siegel, he's a maths teacher and broadcaster, and he's a co-host of the Maths Appeal. It's a maths accessibility podcast. I've looked at it. It's excellent. And I don't even like maths. It's 17 and a half minutes to seven. Two police officers who pepper sprayed and tasered a 92-year-old disabled man at a care home have been cleared of assault. They now face gross misconduct charges. They've committed no crime, but have they broken the police rules, and what should happen to them? Lee says, I'm listening to people who are sitting in the safety of their own homes, criticising the actions of police officers, who every day put their own personal safety at risk to protect the very people who are criticising them. The officers must have been called to the care home due to the fear of violence at the time, and when they have used such force as they feel is necessary in the circumstances, this level of force has been judged by a jury of their peers to be reasonable based on all the evidence presented. Sonny's in Ilford. What do you make of it, Sonny? Good morning.
I totally agree with what the comment he just read out, what he said, all right? But then One thing we should consider is first the vulnerability of the consigned. First, he's 92 years old, he's disabled, visibly on the wheelchair, all right? And one thing we should also notice is he has the kind of knife he had with him was more like a table or kitchen knife. Let's not forget the knife was meant to, thank you, it was meant to like to use to cut what he's eating. So it's not as those, or it's not me saying the knife we see on the street are loud. Then there's a way we could, you know, kind of judge the situation, and there's a way I feel like they could have tackled it much more professionally, because I believe they have more experience and training to tackle or to deal with situations like this, believe me.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much indeed, Sonny. Do you think it's appropriate they should suffer a misconduct charge? Like I say, I've changed my mind doing the phone in. It very rarely happens. At the beginning of the hour, I thought, no, you can't be tried for the same. But then I realised this was about breaking police rules, not committing a crime. So I'm afraid, yes, and particularly if she did something on social media afterwards, which you're not supposed to do if you're a serving police officer, or am I wrong? 03456060973. Loads more to come before Nick at 7 o'clock. First, the headlines, Thomas Watts.
Judges have blocked Donald Trump's sweeping trade tariffs on nearly every country. Four people have died after crowds broke into a food supply warehouse in central Gaza. Britain is to set up a new military command to counter cyber threats. LBC weather, cloudy with patchy rain for many places. A high of 23 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. So the M1 all back open now southbound at Junction 5 at Watford, and those delays are beginning to ease. Very busy though on the western stretch of the M25, anti-clockwise. There are delays from Junction 16 at the M40 to 13 at Staines. Those emergency works are still taking place and only one lane is open. Also problems at the Woolwich Ferry. There's no ferry running at all. It's all down to a technical problem. On the trains, Southeastern are delayed by about 20 minutes between Sheerness-on-Sea and Sittingbourne, and that's because of a load of debris across the tracks. Also on the train, C2C's westbound services are delayed between Pitsea and Barking.
This is LBC.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shotterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished, and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So, don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
Hello, I'm Nick Ferrari, and I'll be back taking your calls in 15 minutes. So, get it off your chest and get it on the radio.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Join me, leading Britain's conversation on LBC.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on!
Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry, deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on. Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only. T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
Tired of watching your uninvested cash do nothing? With the Bank of England base rate reducing, investment platform IG is doing something extraordinary. IG is offering a whopping 8.5% AER variable on all uninvested cash. Yes, 8.5%. Just open an account, transfer money in, and make one investment before May 31st to unlock this incredible rate. Visit ig.com. Call now to open an investment account today. Your capital is at risk. GIA, ISA and SIP accounts only. Boosted rate applies until 31st August 2025. Terms and conditions apply.
Discover outlet shopping at the O2 this spring. Save up to 70% off RRP on over 60 designer brands, including Nike, Adidas, Levi's, Kate Spade, The Cosmetics Company Store, Le Creuset and more. And with over 30 bars and restaurants, a cinema, bowling, climbing, interactive football, mini golf, paddle tennis and indoor skydiving, why not stay for the day? Visit us at North Greenwich, just 15 minutes from central London. Search outlet shopping at the O2 and plan your trip today.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with Ian Payne.
The United Kingdom should be taking the lead on international aid, not abandoning women and girls around the world. We're always talking about our foreign aid budget, and often we have, when we have a phone in, there's always a huge number of people who say we should spend it on ourselves, not on people around the world. Let's speak to Sarah Shaw. She's the Associate Director of Advocacy at MSI Reproductive Choices. So we should spend even more international aid on these particular schemes. Sarah, morning.
Morning, Ian. We don't know where the cuts are going to land yet, but we are urging the UK government not to pass the cuts down to women and girls. If they do that, 7.7 million people are probably going to lose access to contraception, and that's going to cause 2.6 million unintended pregnancies and 2,700 preventable maternal deaths. You know, an investment in contraception is more than just foreign aid. It's foundational for safe, sustainable and resilient societies now and in the future.
What kind of areas of the world are we talking about here, or is it everywhere?
Well, we're talking some of the most underserved and poorest countries in the world. So we're talking sub-Saharan Africa, mainly. That's where the bulk of the cuts will be impacted.
And you're saying that in sub-Saharan Africa, contraception is not even available to some people?
In many countries, it's not, particularly for unmarried women or adolescents due to social stigma and so on. But also lack of investment, lack of poor health systems means that there are millions of women who want to space and limit pregnancies but do not have the means to do so.
OK. Do you know what our international aid budget is for this particular for this particular area?
I mean, it's actually relatively small compared to other investments. And the UK government is already investing 50% less in women and girls than it was before COVID. You know, we're talking a really small amount of money, but the investment is absolutely transformational for individuals and their communities. And it's not just an investment for now. You know, investment in contraception, bodily autonomy has a real ripple effect. It keeps girls in schools, allows women to work, breaks intergenerational society of poverty. So it's felt now and for future generations.
And while it's very commendable, I can hear people at home going, well, hold on a minute, what's this got to do with us? We've got people who need money here. Why do we send it abroad?
But the aid cuts are not going to go into investment in communities in the UK, are they? They're going to go into the defence budget, which is not going to have a direct impact on the cost of living for families in the UK.
Fair enough. Sarah, thank you. Sarah Shaw, Associate Director of Advocacy at MSI Reproductive Choices. Now, we have an exclusive. LBC has learned that an app, which has been downloaded more than a million times, is encouraging users to swap children's faces onto sexualised adult content. Our investigation has discovered disturbing adverts for AI software, which are being shown to TikTok users across the UK, and it's prompted calls from a government minister for Ofcom to intervene. Alan Zazinski has more details.
Want to see your crush dance for you? This app can do it. Just pick a viral dance template and upload a pic.
That is just one of the dozens of adverts we've unearthed on TikTok where AI face swapping apps are encouraging viewers to click download by promoting the concerning and ethically questionable ways that their software can be used. In others, we hear how you can watch any image you want being punched.
Sadness, despair, panic, shame, punch it away.
And how, in what appears to be straying into law-breaking territory, how you can kiss anyone you want.
Choose a kissing effect, add whoever you desire, and watch the passion come to life.
But the worst that we've discovered is two adverts promoting one of these apps by showcasing a child's face being stitched on to sexualised adult videos. We're not naming that app to avoid driving traffic towards it, but we did show these ads to Megan Hinton from the Mary Collins Foundation, which works with abuse survivors.
I'm horrified. It's just an extreme violation of self to have your face or parts of your body manipulated in this way. I think we also stray into a bit of a danger area here, where if you're encouraging people to put children's faces on sexualized content of adults, we're actually then looking at encouraging offenders to create pseudo images of child sexual abuse material. Technology companies need to start prioritising safety over profit and take these adverts down.
And we also asked the Digital and Data Minister, Sir Chris Bryant, if given Ofcom revealed just last week that it was investigating a so-called nudifying app, if the regulator should be intervening here too.
I've not seen it, and I'm always slightly cautious about commenting on things that I haven't seen, but from the way you've described it, it sounds absolutely appalling, and I'm absolutely certain that if it is as you describe, that Ofcom would want to look at it. Of course, there's obviously also legislation around criminal offences, which some of this may touch on, and yes, I would urge Ofcom to look at this.
Now, Ofcom haven't confirmed to me if they will start an investigation into this app, which has now been downloaded more than a million times, but they did tell me that any platforms which fail to protect UK users can expect to face enforcement action. I am still waiting for TikTok to comment, and Apple as well as a download host, but Google have told me that they are going to be starting a formal investigation, and a spokesperson for the app in question has now also given me a response, saying that they have a zero tolerance policy towards any form of content that could be interpreted as sexualising children, and that they would remove any that did.
That exclusive from Alan Zazinski. Berlin has agreed to help finance the construction in Ukraine of weapons that can strike targets inside Russia. The Germans have in the past been reluctant to share this technology, but it seems that they've now decided to do so. Let's speak to Air Vice Marshal Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, now military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. So what's behind this change of mind, Sean? Good morning.
Good morning to you, Ian. I think it grand strategically at the moment, with President Trump looking as if he's losing interest in the trying to dissuade Russia. Russia seems emboldened, is on the front foot on the battlefield, and a weakened Ukraine is a vulnerable Europe. And I think you're seeing many of the countries in Europe, particularly Poland and Germany, looking at what can they do to step up the pressure. And of course, Germany, for all sorts of reasons of history, has been reluctant to, you know, get its manufacturing industry for weapons spun up. But now, particularly around these Taurus missiles, there was a lot of talk about these long-range missiles being launched. But actually, the biggest effect that Germany, in fact, most of Europe can have, is to sort of send the technology, the pieces, the equipment, and let Ukraine assemble these missiles, and then they're available much quicker to be able to be used on the battlefield.
Okay, the German Chancellor said there will be no range restrictions. What kind of range are we talking about? What sort of missiles are these?
Well, the range restrictions, I think, was less about range and more about where. You'll recall that it wasn't that long ago that when the then British Prime Minister Boris Johnson initially said storm shadows could be used, they could be used as long as they were within the law of armed conflict. But the Americans got a bit nervous about using Western weapons against targets in Russia, and therefore there was a limitation on them not being allowed to be used on Russian territory. What this latest statement says is that actually they're confident now Ukraine will not be using them against civilian targets, because they know that that would undermine the Western support immediately. So all they're saying now is you can use them against whatever targets you feel are appropriate in order to help you win the war. So it's less about range. But these Taurus missiles, for example, 550 kilometres, they can go deep into Russia, and they are very effective. They're very targeted explosive. They can have delayed warheads, delayed fuses on them, so they can go deep into a bunker before they go off.
What happens if one of them misfires and ends up blowing up a school?
Well, unfortunately, that's the fog of war. Nothing is 100% perfect. We have very, very high precision weapons these days. I mean, if you look back, I know, Ian, we had to have time for a history lesson, but the 1,000 bomber raids with 20,000 pound bombs on each Lancaster was because in the Second World War, the average miss distance was 4 miles.
Whoa.
Nowadays, you get within 4 feet, and therefore we can use far fewer weapons, much more tailored effect. But inevitably, as with any technology, very occasionally it goes wrong. But the fact is that you are able to do much more precision strike these days, and that's the advantage of weapons like Taurus.
Can you fill us in on what's happening with Zelensky warning that Russia has amassed 50,000 troops in the Sumy region, which is a bit further north from the land that they say is theirs already? So that's a very sort of dangerous proceeding, isn't it?
It is. And I think, again, we've got to be a little bit careful of the war of words here. But it is the context that Russia's probably got this summer fighting season ahead of it. Most military analysts believe that Russia is going to be making a major push to try and take the remainder of those four regions, Luhansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia and Kherson, because that way it will be in a position where it will almost certainly be exhausted and pausing. Russia also claims it's got nearly 200,000 more people in its army since the start of the year. I think, therefore, in context, if about a quarter of these have been massing at Sumy, it's very unlikely that, from a military perspective, Russia will be able to take the major cities of Sumy or Kharkiv in the north. But almost certainly they will be wary, having watched the Ukrainians move in and take a section of Kursk. You remember they invaded Russia for the first time since World War II. It does look like they're going to deliver some sort of buffer zone to stop Ukraine ever thinking about doing that again. But again, the only person who knows this probably is President Putin.
Right. Thank you, Sean. Air Vice Marshal Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, now military analyst. That's it from us. Back tomorrow, hopefully at 4. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Global Player and the new LBC app. You can download them both for free from your app store. Coming up at 10 on LBC, it's James O'Brien, but now it's time for your Thursday breakfast with Nick Ferrari.
Thanks, Ian. At 7 o'clock on Thursday, May the 29th, the wrong arm of the law, an ailing 92-year-old man with one leg, has a form of pepper spray and is tasered by police officers. His crime was to hold a 4-inch butter knife. This is part of the action.
Do it now. Drop the knife.
Donald, drop the knife.
Donald.
Put it down. Put it down.
Taser, taser.
And those oafish officers have been cleared. A day of shame for the police. We'll give you more details and take your views and verdicts. In other news, trading blows over those President Trump tariffs.
We're following some very big breaking news tonight. A 3-judge panel in New York has effectively balked almost all of Trump's disastrous tariffs.
Back in the UK, you remember the Heathrow blackout back in March? Here's the boss, Thomas Voldeby.
Personally, I'm quite proud of what the entire ecosystem, and that's not just Heathrow, that's our airlines, our handlers. I'm proud of what the people did to get us out of the situation.
And now we learn that the hapless Heathrow blackout bungler knew nothing that was going on because his phone was on silent. Plus, water, water everywhere. Some reservoirs are on the way. Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain.